Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Plants can be classified into three categories: long day, short day, or day neutral. When the days are naturally short, lighting can be used to either promote flowering of long day plants or inhibit flowering of short day plants. And this can be done by either delivering light during the middle of the night, which is called night interruption, or at the end of the day, which is called day extension. Here's a picture to show you the use of incandescent lamps for photopure lighting to control flowering of a variety of ornamental crops in a typical commercial greenhouse. Light has multiple properties, among which light quality is really important for photomorphogenesis and flowering regulation. Based on previous literature, green light was believed not to be effective to provide long days for many different species. However, red and far radiation pose more important roles for flowering regulation. At Michigan State University, about 3 years ago, we tested different ratios of red to far red light, and we found that for long day plants, a mixture of both red and far radiation would be most promotive of flowering of long day plants. However, for short day plants, it is primarily red light that was inhibitory to flowering. However, little was known about the role of blue light in flowering regulation, especially for photopuric lighting. And therefore, about 2 years ago at Michigan State, we designed an experiment to determine its efficacy. And as you see in this picture, blue light at 2 micromoles per screen per second delivered as a 4-hour non-interruption did not create long days for both long day plants and short day plants. In this case, blue light did not influence flowering for this long day plant Rudbeckia or the short day plant Marigold. In contrast, another study suggested that there would be different threshold intensities for different wavelengths to be effective when it comes to flowering control. For example, in this case, in order to inhibit flowering of a short day plant lamina to the same extent, a much higher intensity was required for blue light compared with red light. Different photoreceptors are important for flowering regulation, such as phytochromes and cryptochromes. Phytochromes are primarily red and far red light absorbing photoreceptors. They also have secondary peaks in the blue region. Cryptochromes are mainly UVA and blue radiation absorbing photoreceptors. And therefore, we think maybe by elevating the intensity of blue light, we could trigger flowering responses. And also, we were wondering if we could use blue radiation as a way to control the extension growth of floricultural crops, because many studies have shown that blue light can suppress extension growth or stem elongation. We designed an experiment to determine whether we could use blue radiation at higher intensities with or without the presence of low-intensity red, white, and far-red radiation from light-emitting diodes or LEDs to control flowering of a variety of photoperiodic crops, including long day and short day plants. And we postulated that during a long night, blue light would be perceived by plants at a moderate intensity, such as 30 micromoles per square meter per second, as a long day signal. In our study, we included 5 long day plants, namely Calibocor, Coreopsis, Petunia, Rudbeckia, and Snapdragon, as well as 2 short day plants, Chrysanthemum and Marigold. We used either blue LEDs or red, white, and far red LEDs from Philips to deliver 1, 15, or 30 micromoles of blue light or 2 micromoles of red, white, and far red light. For blue LEDs, we were able to obtain the desired intensities of light by using the dim controllers or by adjusting the height of the lamps relative to the plants. For the red, white, and far red LEDs, we used metal mesh or adjusted the height of the lamps to obtain the 2 micromoles of light. By using those different light sources, we were able to devise different lighting treatments. Here in this graph, B means blue radiation. The numbers that follow B indicate the intensity of blue light delivered in micromoles per square meter per second. The asterisk here indicates the delivery of red, white, and far light, at a low intensity of 2 micromoles per square meter per second. We also calculated the estimated phytochrome photoequilibria, or PPE in this case. As we increase the intensity of blue radiation in the lighting treatment, we have a decrease in the PPE. We grew plants at a set point temperature of 20 degrees Celsius under a 9-hour short day photo period with or without day extension and or night interruption lighting from different combinations of LEDs. First of all, we have a short day control, that's a 9-hour ambient sunlight. Also, we delivered low intensity red, white, and far red lights either as a day extension or a night interruption. In addition, we combined low-intensity red, white, and far red light with blue light at 115 or 30 micromoles per square meter per second as a non-interruption. Blue light alone at 30 micromoles per square meter per second was also delivered as a non-interruption. And eventually, we had a combination of day extension lighting from red, white, and far red light at a low intensity, followed by a non-interruption from blue light alone at 30 micromoles per square meter per second. In our greenhouses, we monitored and recorded the temperature and light data. Light quantum sensors were used to measure and record photosynthetic photon flux, and subsequently, the photosynthetic daily light integrals were calculated for two replications performed, which were 9 and 15 moles per square meter per day, respectively. When the instantaneous photosynthetic photon flux dropped below 185 micromoles per square meter per second, hydrogen sodium lamps were turned on automatically to provide supplemental lighting. We had a temperature set point of 20 degrees Celsius, and we were able to maintain that temperature by using 1500 watt electric heaters and cooling pads, exhaust fans, and ventilation systems in our greenhouses. As you see in this figure, the actual air temperature for all the lighting treatments were close to the set point. We collected data about flowering characteristics, including the date of first visible bud or inflorescence, date of first open flower, as well as plant height, among others. Data were pulled from two applications and were analyzed in the SAS software. In a future slide, means followed by different letters indicate differences that are significantly different, that are statistically significant. Now let's take a look at the results. Here I will emphasize time to flower, which is the time from the date of transplant to the date of first open flower. Now, for long day plants, all the lighting treatments were effective at creating long days or promoting flowering of all species. For Rudbeckia, all the lighting treatments performed similarly compared with a short day. They were really effective at promoting flowering. For all the species, blue light alone at 30 micromoles per square meter per second effectively created long days. And this was surprising because before, at 2 micromoles, it was not effective at all. When we compared day extension with night interruption lighting, we found that for most crops of the long day plants studied, night interruption lighting promoted flowering more than day extension lighting did. Here's a closer look at Calibacora as one of the examples. All the flowering occurred earlier under all lighting treatments compared with the short day. Blue light alone at 30 micromoles per square meter per second was very effective at promoting flowering. If we add blue light at 30 micromoles per square meter per second to low intensity red, white, and far red light, flowering could be further promoted by 4 days. Another example is snapdragon. If we compare day extension with night option lighting from low intensity red, white, and far red light, flowering was 5 days earlier under day extension rather than night interruption. And the most rapid flowering occurred under a combination of both day extension and night interruption lighting. For shorty plants, our intention was to inhibit or delay flowering. So the trends here you see are opposite to those you see for long-day plants. All the lighting treatments effectively delayed flowering of both chrysanthemum and marigold. However, we see differences in these lighting treatments for chrysanthemum, but for marigold, all the lighting treatments delayed flowering similarly compared with a short day. For both crops, blue light alone at 30 micromoles per square meter per second delayed flowering effectively. For chrysanthemum, if we compare the extension with non-interruption lighting, flowering was later under non-interruption than under the extension. Here's a picture to show you the flowering responses of chrysanthemum. Blue light alone at 30 micromoles was effective. However, it was not as effective as some other lighting treatments that emitted red light. Flowering was about 10 days later under the night interruption than under the day extension lighting. So in conclusion, night interruption with blue light at a moderate intensity, such as 30 micromoles per square meter per second, when delivered alone or added to red, white, and far-right radiation at a low intensity, can regulate flowering of a variety of ornamental crops we studied. In addition, the addition of moderate intensity blue radiation to low intensity red, white, and far-right radiation could elicit a stronger long-day response in some species such as calibacore and petunia, but not for some other crops. Third, before, some other studies suggested the equivalent efficacies of day extension lighting and non-interruption lighting. In our study, we found that non-interruption was generally more effective at creating long days for long-day plants than day extension lighting. Although I didn't report data for extension growth, we did find that extension growth of most crops was not suppressed by additional blue radiation. In the end, I would like to acknowledge the funding provided by the USDA SRI grant, MSU's Project Green, and the horticulture companies that provided support and donated plant material to our research. Also, I would like to thank the faculty and the colleagues that supported me and helped me with data collection and research. Thank you very much, and now I would like to take any questions you may have. Terry. So the question is if we could use white light to trigger the same responses as we did for red and far red light. So the thing with white LEDs is that they emit little far red light. So we did a study later to investigate their efficacies with different types of white LEDs. And we found that for some long-day plants, such as snapdragon, flowering could not be promoted without the presence of far red light. Therefore, white LEDs, just like compact fluorescent lamps, which also do not emit much far red light, could potentially delay flowering of some long-day plants. But for short-day plants, white LEDs were very effective at delaying flowering. Ricardo? So the question is why we used white light instead of just red and far red light?
And then the blue, the additional blue light like you did.
Yes. So this particular lamp was from Philips, and it had substantial amounts of red and far red light. But for visual purposes, they added white light as well. So the thing is. Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
We're actually
Yeah, maybe we can talk later. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Really.
Yeah.